Hello and happy holidays, everybody. It's time once again for another edition of The Throwback. It's your host, as always, Ryan the Podman.
And me, Daddy, Jimmy the Radio Man.
Hey, Jimmy, who's this guy sitting next to you?
Oh, this is my uncle from New York. He came over for the holidays, Daddy. He's a very rich man. How you doing, son? Shake my hand.
How you doing, sir?
Very good. Have you ever had dirty wedges?
Wait. Dirty what?
Dirty wedges, son. Dirty wedges. Have you ever had dirty wedges?
Dirty wedges? Jimmy, what's your uncle talking about? Is this some type of dish you guys have over Thanksgiving or something?
That's a long story, Daddy. We'll talk about it later. Dirty wedges are a serious issue. Hold on. Hold on. My grandpa Sal is also here. He needed a ride for his catarrhitis appointment. So he stopped by on with us.
Hey, you! Where's the spaghetti and meatballs I was promised on the ride over here? This doesn't look like Olive Garden.
Oh, don't worry, Grandpa. We will go over there after.
Anyways, folks, we have a great show lined up for everybody today. We have one of the members of the Sandlot, Shado Badinsky, aka Tommy Repeat Tidbits, will be on the show to celebrate the 25th anniversary of the Sandlot. And it's time filming the iconic 90s movie.
Hey! You! Aren't you that Arsenio Hall guy from the late nights?
No, Grandpa, that's Ryan. He's the host of this show, remember?
Host? You mean it's not Geraldo?
This conversation lacks dirty wedges.
Thanks again for bringing your family, Jimmy. Anyway, folks, be sure to check us out on Spotify, iHeartRadio, and now iTunes for more exclusive interviews. Also, be sure to check us out on Twitter, at Throw Podcast, THROW Podcast. Now, here's our exclusive interview with Sandlot star Shane Obadinsky.
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a Throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time is from the movie The Sandlot, who played Tommy Repeat Timmons. I am pleased to welcome Shane Obadinsky. Shane, how are you?
Hey, very good, man. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for taking the time out to come on the show. Yeah, it's been a crazy past few months for you guys, hasn't it? Like, the Sandlot 25th anniversary is this year.
Oh, yeah. It's been wild. We got a phone call at the end of last year.
Yeah.
That said pretty much, be ready for a big summer for the 25th. We said, oh, you know, okay. Not knowing exactly what they had in store or what we were going to do, but officially started in, I guess, the end of April.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been pretty much nonstop, touring around and celebrating
this
movie.
Yeah.
We don't stop until the end of September.
Wow, it's like a roller coaster ride right now. Well,
we're all very lucky, but it's been wild for sure.
Okay, you know, growing up, I know obviously baseball is big during the summertime. It's like America's pastime. Were you a big baseball fan growing up?
Growing up before the movie, I was actually 10. Of course, I was a baseball fan. I mean, my father would go to spring training games in Florida.
Yeah.
And I played baseball, not just street ball, but just, you know, try to do little league, things like that.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Shortly after the movie, life kind of just got busy, and I got older, so I got not less interested, but didn't pay attention to baseball or play it as much. I guess everyone else assumed.
Right.
So it's been almost backwards for me ever since the movie came out, but it's been good.
Yeah.
Baseball's life.
Well, yeah. Who was your favorite team when you were a kid?
See, I have to say the Yankees from my grandfather and my dad.
Yankees, yeah.
But I live in Florida, so I've always been a little partial to hometown team. So
oh, that's good.
I'm gonna go the Rays, but you know. Raised up with two Yankee fans, it's hard not to say you're a Yankee.
Yeah, the Yankees. Yeah, that kind of kills me. I'm a Braves fan, so the 96 World Series kind of leaves bad memories for me there a little bit. But
and I understand they're an easy team to like and an easier team to hate. But if I didn't have the upbringing around those two men, I don't think I would be.
So, were you into any other sports Like, as a kid, like, did you play any, like, other sports besides baseball?
As a kid, not really. Now, my other sport now is hockey. Mm-hmm. I like hockey a lot. But as a kid, it was just baseball. And I started acting when I was very young. I did my first commercial when I was 3. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe I don't want to say I had a different upbringing than some kids, but it was definitely, I had to approach things a little bit differently. That was also good. But, baseball's always been there, so I can
yeah. So you said you started acting when you were 3, you said?
Yeah, I did my first commercial. It was a Kool-Aid commercial, like 3 years old.
Wow. So how did you end up in the role with the Sandlot? Like, how did you, like, first, or your parents or agents first learn of this particular role for this movie?
Well, as I said, I've been doing it since I was 3. I've had some pretty good success, a lot of TV shows in the 90s. And I got a phone call for the movie. I didn't know anything about it other than a baseball movie. Mm-hmm. And they said, come on out and try out. You know, my agent, you know, contacted us. You know, we went out and tried out. And then I got back home. And back then, you know, that was the age of fax machines. And, you know, you get home to check your messages and stuff. So mm-hmm. we drove to Miami, Central Florida. And that's a pretty good drive, about 5 hours.
Right.
And we auditioned, drove all the way back. And then when we got home, we had a voicemail that said, they want to see me again.
Oh, wow.
So we said, oh, okay. So we literally just got back in the car and drove back out there. We were there for the next audition the next day, the second audition. Mm-hmm. And I thought it went pretty well. And I went home and nothing. You know, I don't remember exactly how long. My mother, you know, recalled it was a couple of weeks that went by.
Yeah.
And you just assumed that, you know, I didn't get the part.
Wow.
And then randomly I get a phone call that says, you just booked your flight to L.A. You're leaving next week. Come on out.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that was, you know, a big deal. So the next week, my mom went out to L.A. and it was basically still an audition at that point. You know, there was a bunch of kids there, and they had a search for short movies across America. So
right.
All the ones they liked, they just got out to L.A., and at that point, basically just narrowed it down to the ones they wanted, and I made the cut, and the rest is history, I guess.
Wow. I don't think anyone had any idea at the time that this movie would be as popular as it would, like, 25 years into the future. It's like
no, we had no idea.
Yeah.
The cool thing about it was that it did a good movie and it did pretty good at the box office as well. But a year or so after it came out, you know, myself and all the boys just moved on.
Right.
It wasn't until we started to approach the 20th anniversary, which would be, you know, 18, 19 years later,
mm-hmm.
that people were really still watching it, still a part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, social media obviously gets more and more dominant every day. People are contacting us and we're hearing stories and seeing interaction. Oh my God, guys.
Yeah.
And then the 20th anniversary came around and it was beyond anything you could have imagined. The turnout of people, the stories of the families and people sharing the film and how much it means to them.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since, you know, about 6-7 years ago, we've learned it's become something special. And we would have never have guessed it. I mean, we knew it was a good movie, but
yeah.
Never would have guessed this.
Yeah. It was filmed in 1993, right? 1993, the movie, right?
Yeah, in Utah. Yeah.
Yeah. The cool thing about that I noticed is there was a lot of baseball movies being filmed that year. There was, like, I think Rookie of the Year, your Sandlot. I think it was the Angels in the Outfield filmed that year too, I believe.
In between that 2-3 maybe 4 year period of the early 90s,
yeah,
like all the major kids baseball movies were made, and I feel a lot of them were quickly made after the success of ours and Rookie of the Year.
That's true. Yeah, those were Sandlot and Rookie of the Year were like two top like baseball movies like for kids around that time. And I feel like everyone followed suit after they're trying to cash in on it. But, like, it wasn't the same. I think, yeah, those two, Sandlot and Rookie of the Year, was, like, on a whole different, like, to me anyways, different tire than the rest of those baseball movies. Like, there were some other good ones, too, that I enjoyed. But, like, those were, like, the two top ones for me.
And then the boy actually, he plays Baumgartner actually met up with him about a year or so ago at a convention, a sports convention in Chicago.
Oh, really?
And we took a pic together, and we got some good, you know, social media trending stuff. But, you know, he's a great guy, and his movie, you know, was great. So we're all kind of, you know, celebrating that milestone of making some good movies, and we'll probably don't make it anymore. So he's a great guy, and we're happy that we go meet up with him finally, because we had never met him before.
Yeah. So when you first started filming the movie for The Sandlot, like, how was it like working with the rest of the guys when you first started out? Did you guys get along right away? Like,
well, I think that's kind of what was important to, you know, the director and the cast agent. Of why we all went to LA and mm-hmm. finished trying out there.
Right.
There was a bunch of kids, and they saw which ones gelled, they saw which ones were friends, they saw which ones got along and all that stuff. So they made their decision off of, you know, realistic friendship, which I think is one of the keys to that movie being so successful.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we were actors and, you know, doing our part, but in theory, we were just kids who made best friends for that summer, and they filmed it. So when we got to down to the room and the final nine of us that it was going to be, we were already hanging out in the hotel together, swimming together, playing baseball together. We were already great friends.
Mm-hmm.
So when they said, you know, all right, it's you guys, let's go. You know, we were already on that adventure with our friends.
Right.
They did a good job capturing that, and I guess whether it was forced or not, you know, making that a big central part of the movie, so it looked natural. I think they were successful, and I guess time makes them successful. So
no. Yeah, it is. So as you guys were filming the movie, you guys bonded even closer as the filming went on?
I guess I would say so. I mean, a lot of us say it was the greatest summer of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely feel that's true. The only one that would be compared to, maybe not better, but different, would be the summer we're having right now.
Yeah, yeah.
But, as it got closer, or as we continued filming and toward the end, we were best friends.
Wow.
That was the worst part about not filming anymore, because then we had to go back to reality. Yeah. I lived all the way in Florida, listening here, different parts of America.
Right.
It was like not seeing your friends anymore after spending, you know, 4 or 5 months.
Yeah. Did you guys keep in contact a lot after the movie?
No. Some of the guys did, because some of the boys live in L.A., and, you know, they were close and stayed in contact. I went back to Florida.
Right.
And until the 20th anniversary, besides some phone calls leading up to the 20th,
mm-hmm.
I hadn't talked to them or seen them in 20.
Wow, that's a long
time.
That
was wild. Yeah.
That's a lot. So how long did it take to, when you were filming the movie, how long did it take to film the movie? Do you recall? Was it just like over like 1 month during the summer, or is it a couple months?
It was, I believe they said 42 or 45 days of filming.
Mm-hmm.
And that that didn't include, of course, you know, the prep prior to. And I would say it was probably about 2 months altogether, maybe close to three of beginning to end of us, you know, becoming friends and being in LA. And you know, we had to go to a baseball camp before we filmed to kind of look like we knew what we were doing.
Oh, you went to baseball camp?
Yeah, it was fun. They had some guys come out. I don't know who they were, if they were anyone important besides baseball teachers, but
mm-hmm.
they had some people come out and, you know, give us a couple week starter pack to get us looking like we're good, you know, and it worked.
Yeah, that
I would
helped.
Say beginning to end in about 2 months, maybe 2.5.
Oh, okay. You said it was filmed in Utah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the fact I didn't know. I always thought a movie like that was filmed somewhere like in Florida or somewhere in California. That's interesting.
No, it takes place in California, but
yeah.
Obviously budgets and things like that, they needed a place that was had that look for that time of year and everything, and the director found it in Utah and had some real backgrounds in the valley and things like that. So
yeah.
It worked out, and that's where it was. We were actually back at the Sandlot where we filmed it
mm-hmm.
with 2,500 other friends and family and fans, and we watched the movie on the field where we filmed it.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was very cool. The Sandlot is, it's a big deal in Utah. I don't mean to brag. They definitely cherish and take pride in that movie being filmed there. And it's a big part of their city and their culture. So when you go there to screen the movie on the Sandlot, you know,
it's a big deal.
Big deal.
Yeah. Now, looking back at the movie, do you have a particular favorite scene from the movie that you personally enjoyed the most when you were filming it, or looking back at it now, that you really like, oh, I really love this part of the movie?
I kind of got maybe two answers for you.
Yeah.
I remember being a kid, anything in that treehouse, because that treehouse was practical. You know, it was, you know, we could play in there, we could go up and down there. The slide thing, and it was practical, and it was literally a kid's dream.
Mm-hmm.
So anything in there is always a great memory. And a lot of times, where when we weren't working or needed to be in the scene, that's where me and the boys would go to hang out, goof off. They'd have to go find us, and we'd hear them yelling, "Where are they?" And we're hiding in the treehouse playing. But that's great.
Yeah.
It's great to see that on film. As I got older, a lot of people say it's their favorite scene in the movie, the fireworks scene.
Oh, yeah. 4th of July, right?
Yeah. Yeah. As I got older, I was able to see that scene through different eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And having the memory of how we made it and how there was no fireworks, the lights above us that were flashing.
Right.
I look back at that, and I feel that is one of the best movie, if not the overall best scene in the movie, because it just encompasses everything that's right about America. It's a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
4th of July, playing baseball, having the time of their life,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of summer. It's that's the American dream right there.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
So, exactly. So I look back at that scene and I say that's probably the best scene in the movie. And a lot of people say that's the most powerful scene.
It is.
I gotta give it to that.
Yeah, I was looking at it the other night. It was like a very, very nice visual, just looking back at it. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, for sure.
One of my other favorite scenes is, I was laughing so hard when I saw this, we were looking at it the other day, the scene with, you know, when you guys went to the pool and Squint fake drowning in the pool with the lifeguard.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and she was doing mouth to mouth and he pulled her in and started kissing her.
And, he gives that camera that little perfect look right before he does it. That scene for it is comedic gold right there.
Yeah.
It's the best. Fun fact about that scene actually, and we talk about this in the documentary that they're airing on Fox Sports right now.
Mm-hmm.
But that whole summer was very, very hot for Utah.
Yeah.
So it was the worst summer to film a movie outside for kids. But that day, some bizarre cold front came through, and the water was like 50 degrees.
Yeah.
So if you pay attention in the background, you can see us, you know, shaking and our teeth chattering. That wasn't nerves. That was because it was freezing cold. So that added some weird, you know, magic to that whole scene, too. So it was just great how it came together.
Yeah, it was. I was gonna say. So after filming the movie, did you become a bigger fan of baseball or not really?
I don't want to say I became a bigger fan. I was already a big fan, and you know, spring training in Florida, a lot of the teams play here. So me and my father would go to those all the time. So that gave me a great respect for the game and just a great view of everything that goes into playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I would almost say it didn't grow after that point. I just stopped paying attention as much.
Oh, you did?
Because now that it's over, you know, it's 25 years later, me and my father still talk about baseball, and we still, you know, hang out once a week, and that baseball always gets brought up. So it's given me a respect for the game that I didn't have before.
Yeah.
That it's more than just... It's more than just a game. It's more than just football. It's more than just, you know, basketball. It's it really is America's pastime, and that's the coolest thing about it. So the respect for the game has grown undoubtedly.
Because you get busy with life and move on, you do other stuff.
Life happens, man.
Yeah. That's true. Now, during the filming the movie, were you able to keep any like memorabilia or anything like from the set when the movie was over? Like anything?
We all kept random things. I have some leaves from the treehouse, where the treehouse was at my house. We all kept, personal things from the set, like our chairs with our names on it and things like that. Most of the fun things that I wish we could have kept, and a lot of people ask about Fox and the costume department got all those things back right when we had done them. There was no sneaking off of them or anything like that, although I wish we could. In Louisville, Kentucky right now, the Slugger Museum has a most of the really cool stuff from the movie has been donated from the prop people and all that.
Oh, yeah.
That's in the museum right now.
Wow.
Sadly, it's on display for the world, but we didn't get to keep it.
Do you remember anything, like, on set-wise, any funny stories or behind-the-scenes things that that happened that really stick out to you? Like, any bloopers or anything?
There's probably the best blooper reel of all time. It's floating around somewhere in the 7th Garage director. And sadly, it has never been put together. Different scenes we film have never seen it. There's a great scene of us cleaning the sand lot before summer, mowing it, getting it ready for what we do. Bloopers, I know there's tons. I know there's a good one where we bust the ball and we're all looking over it. The camera's not below us and we just couldn't keep it together. There's a lot of great things. I wish my memory was better on that, but I hope one day the blooper reel gets released, because there's probably some great stuff there.
Maybe in a future anniversary edition you might release some stuff. That'd be cool.
I hope so. I think between the 20th anniversary edition and the 25th anniversary edition, it would have gotten released, but
maybe the 30-year.
5 years.
Yeah, maybe 30-year anniversary, you'll see something. Yeah, let's hope so, yeah. I think we kind of touched on this, but like, how does it feel doing all these reunion shows? And like, must be amazing, huh?
It helps bring home that we're part of something bigger than us, bigger than we expected. We did the Today Show a couple months back, and doing the Today Show in itself is a big deal.
Yeah.
But doing it for a movie you filmed 25 years ago is a bigger deal. And that, and it being people wanting it to be relevant in their lives and people loving it so much still really, really helps bring it home that we made something special, that we're a part of something special. So
yeah,
all the shows we've been doing and appearances we've been doing, people come out sometimes from other states and miles away to see us at a ballpark for an appearance, or if we're going to be in Utah for the Sandlot event, people come from, we've had people come from, Boston, and they drove there so they could be able to share that with us. That's the most amazing part about it. It's not necessarily, Today's show or things like that. It's just all of it in general makes you feel great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, because not a lot of movies get that honor of like honoring the 25th or 30-year or 20-year anniversary like on a Today Show. Like, only few select movies get that honor, to be honest.
It's crazy. You're right. I wasn't a part of it, but the guys, because they live in LA, SportsCenter a couple months ago.
Oh yeah.
And they were, they obviously great on that, but to have SportsCenter invite the whole cast both sit down and do an episode with them is incredibly humbling, and it's awesome that they care enough, you know, for us to be there. So all those things, you know, the baseball scene appearances are amazing too, because you get to meet all the players, and a lot of times the professional players will come up to us and say, you know, you guys are the reason I started playing baseball.
Wow.
And you know, we're all in our late 30s now, so it makes us feel old, but that's
pretty cool though.
Yeah, that effect on people is amazing.
Yeah, not even baseball. I think either athletes and other sports are like big fans of the movies too. I think I heard.
Right. I don't know if you've seen it, but the documentary on Fox Sports right now, the end of the documentary, they have like a section where everyone from, you know, celebrities and then sports figures and a whole bunch of people have sent in videos of themselves expressing their love for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And a majority of the people in that montage are not baseball players.
Wow.
There's football players, there's other actors, there's, you know, there are some big name baseball players, of course, but the football players were what surprised me the most. And of course, some of the actors that, you know, said hello and shared their love to us we all kind of honestly got choked up with that a little bit and watched it. So
I think even some basketball players too as well are big fans of the movie.
Kobe Bryant watches it every year for 4th of July.
Really? Yeah, I did not know that.
It's a family tradition. And he tweeted out about it a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, just casually, like, hey, 4th of July, watch the Sandlot with the family, hashtag tradition, you know.
Nice.
And just recently, I saw a video, I don't know how old it is, but I just saw it recently, where he's talking about his life now that he's retired. And
mm-hmm.
he mentions watching the Sandlot on 4th of July, and he talks about the movie for a second. And that's a baseball
awesome.
Movie. You know, watched yearly by, you know, one of the greatest basketball players of all time.
Yeah, that's awesome.
To have that impact on people is, I'll never be more satisfied. It's awesome.
Wow. Now, about a month ago, there was a story or news broke out that there's a prequel in the makings for The Sandlot. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Do you know anything about that right now?
I will tell you everything I know, which sadly isn't a whole lot, and I don't think it's much more than what you could dive into on Google. But it is going to be a prequel. I believe it's going to be...
Mm-hmm.
If it's not called Legend of the Beast, then it will be about the Legend of the Beast, about how the Beast became, you know, what it is, the history behind that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it'll just expand a little bit on, you know, the history of the Beast in the Sandlot.
Yeah.
I mean, it'll be around baseball as well. But I guess one of the bigger announcements, which we can't even talk about yet, will come later this year or early next year, about something else Sandlot related that's going to definitely make a lot of people happy.
Wow. So are you going to be involved? Are you going to be involved in the project, or can you say right now?
We should all be involved in that project.
Wow. That should be something to look forward to. Wow.
Excited about that. So definitely some things that are going to be announced shortly, but the first of them was the prequel, and the prequel is just going to continue to, you know, spread the love of baseball and the love of America, and
mm-hmm.
it's going to be great. It's something we might need right now. You know?
The legend of the Sandlot will live on forever.
It's that way.
Yes.
And it's that way, but we're happy to be a part of it. And we really do. I know this sounds cliche to say, but we really have some of the best fans ever to share this movie to everyone they know, and the love they have for it.
That's awesome. Well,
Shane Opadinsky, everybody, a.k.a. Tommy Repeat Timmons. Thank you for coming on the show today. We really appreciate it.
Sure. Have a good night.
Special thanks goes out to Shane Obadinsky for coming on the show to talk about his time filming The Sandlot and reflecting how it was filming and being part of such an iconic movie. The Sandlot is one of the greatest baseball movies to ever be made. Wouldn't you say, Jimmy?
Oh, I agree, Daddy. The Sandlot is a great movie with so many great moments. I watch it every year on President's Day.
President's Day? Why would you specifically watch it on President's Day?
Son, because President's Day is a good day to watch this movie. My personal favorite day of all. Yeah, President's Day is a big holiday in our family. I don't know why we have this huge celebration. We even bake this huge cake and exchange gifts. We even put all of our names in a hat and draw one out every year to see who gets their tax return audited by the rest of the family. I'm telling you, Daddy, it's bigger than Christmas.
Wow. I think I heard everything now. You know, anyways, folks, on our next edition of The Throwback, our special guest will be the star of the popular 90s NBC show California Dreams, Jenny Kwan, as she talks about her career and her time on the popular TV show.
California Dreams? I had a dream about California once. Then I woke up inside a shopping cart at a Piggly Wiggly's grocery store.
Okay, Grandpa, let's not go there. You had too much to drink that night. Hey, this conversation still lacks dirty wedges. Dirty wedges are a serious issue. You must discuss these dirty wedges.
I'm afraid there's not enough time to discuss that, sir. The show's almost over.
Nonsense. There's always time for dirty wedges. And you'll have to come on your next show to discuss them. Dirty wedges is what's wrong with the world today. I will be your co-host in Edda's discussion, son. We will put cookies out for Santa and discuss dirty wedges.
Put cookies out for Santa and discuss dirty wedges. I don't know.
My uncle's here till January. Don't try fighting it. If he says he's coming, he's coming. But don't worry, I'll be there too.
Oh, this is going to be such a long holiday season. I need some eggnog. Goodbye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.